welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
Me! It's Ariel.
She's got a happy secret, something to share. Okay, guys, we're just really excited about the news that dropped for us yesterday or the day before, but it'll be a week late news by the time this comes out.
That was one of the first things that came into my mind, was that we will not be, like, on time with this news.
No. Like, everybody already knows.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone knows, but we still have to talk about it.
Yeah, so a few days ago, or last week, Ariel sent me a link to Stephanie Meyer's website.
Yes,
and
I did.
And on her website, there was a countdown. It said 4 days, 17 hours, or whatever it was. And we started theorizing, what could it possibly be? And Ariel was like, maybe it's Midnight Sun. And I was like, no way. I don't want to get my hopes up. There's no way that that's what it's going to be. Because Stephanie Meyer has been so adamant about not releasing that. Because for those who don't know, she started writing Midnight Sun many, many years ago, and then it got leaked somehow. And so, like, the first, you know, 100 pages or whatever were released. And then she was like, no, I can't finish. She was a real drama queen about it. But we got the news that Midnight Sun is happening, and it's coming out in August. That's the thing that surprised me the most, is how soon it's coming out.
Yeah, because I was saying to her, I remember, like you've said, I linked it to you, and I was like, I think it's going to be Midnight Sun. And you're like, nope, it's not. But then you also added, you're like, even if it is something cool, it's not going to come out for like a whole year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know, because I think, you know, for some people, the quarantine has really messed up releases. But for other things, Animal Crossing, it's really been super good. So it's possible that, like, some people are trying to not take advantage of it, but, you know, use it if we can. Sell some books. Wow, that's a pretty awesome thing. I think this is obviously going to sell so well. And even though it's maybe, in some ways, a lot of people, I'm sure, are going to argue, like, it's an author that doesn't need more money, I guess. But if you buy it from your independent bookshop, this could generate a lot of sales for indie bookshops. Like,
yeah, it's like a $35 book. So yeah, if everyone went to their local bookstores and ordered it, that would be great.
And yeah, and because of the way that the book world works, you know, like, you buy this book, you don't just help Stephanie Meyer, you also help the editors and the publishing house and the bookshops, and the money goes, it spreads. So I'm actually super excited for this as a boost to the book economy.
Yeah.
And you
said too, it's kind of crazy that we're getting a new Hunger Games book and a new Twilight book this year. It is the craziest year
it
of all time.
2008, ladies and gentlemen.
We reverted back to the year of our Lord, 2008.
Back when things were better.
Yeah. I mean, it was a bad year for other reasons, but, you know,
yeah,
good
no,
books, true. Good books. I'm just glad that it isn't a sequel to The Chemist.
Well, and this was what Raylene was like, it's just going to be a sequel to The Chemist. I'm like, no way. That would be so anticlimactic.
That would be so sad, because The Chemist was her only book that I've, like, haven't been able to finish, because I was just like, this is so not good. Like, Twilight is bad, but it's entertaining.
Yeah.
The Chemist was bad, but not entertaining either.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I'm so excited, and yeah, we definitely, at the beginning, like, right before we hit record, we were like, do we save this for book news? And Raylene's like, we have to address it. It's the elephant in the room.
We have to start now. Also, it's just going to overshadow my actual book news, so I don't want it to be too close to that.
Mine too.
We need to have some separation. Oh, well, anyways, with all that being said, let's just jump right in. We're so excited. I could talk about this all day, but what are you currently reading?
Gosh,
I know it's a lot of things, but
where do I begin?
It depends what you feel like telling me today.
So, excitingly, guys, we now have my brother editing the podcast. So all of our podcast episodes are edited by CJ Bissette. And CJ knows a lot about sound. He's a musician. And so, you know, if you need him for your sound needs, I didn't mean to do a plug, but here I am. But the reason that I bring this up is because I gave him my file from last week's episode. And he was like, Ariel. And I was like, I'm in trouble. He's like, you are not allowed to laugh that hard into the microphone. And I was like, like, look at my laughter on the sound waves, and it is just a block of piercing sound, and I'm like, ay, sorry. So, I've been given strict instruction to laugh to the side, so I'm really gonna try that today,
so
but
funny.
It's already hard. Anyway, okay, I'm currently reading two things. Neither of them are what I'm supposed to be reading, but
okay,
whatever.
What else is new? Honestly, I'm starting to accept that about you, and I
think
it's fine. It's just
I think
who you are.
That it's better that we accept it as who I am and don't try and kill me. So the first book is, I just started it today, actually, but I'm over halfway through because it's a graphic novel, and it is Killing and Dying by Adrienne Tomine. Have you heard of this graphic novel?
No, it looks so cool, though.
It is a beautiful, the cover is so beautiful. So I, oh God, I've talked to them about them before, but I love Faber and Faber, and I have a friend who works there who's like my favorite person, Nariksha, and she, one time, she let me like walk around the Faber offices, and they have... there are some pretty cool perks to working in publishing. They have, like, you know, shelves full of ARCs and books, like, overstock, basically. And she was like, do you want one or two? And I was like, and I saw all of these beautiful graphic novels. So I picked up, like, two or three of these graphic novels. And I think I also got another one by Adrienne Tomine, which I'm so excited about because I'm loving this. It is so good. What I didn't realize was that it is a collection of stories. It's an anthology graphic novel.
Nice.
But if you recall, I read Girl Town a few weeks ago, and that was like my first graphic novel anthology, and I actually really enjoyed the experience. So it's fun that I didn't know I had another
accidentally
one.
Accidentally found another one.
Yeah, exactly. So I've had this on my shelves for quite a while, but I was in the mood for some graphic novels, and I was like, what even is that one? Because I just picked it up on such a whim, like on that day, so I didn't even know what it was about. But it is so good. It is absolutely in the category of, like, literary graphic novel. Mm-hmm. It's quite, you know, it's like adult, it's an adult look at contemporary life. It's not, like, an adventure story or in any way a teen book, but it is so good. It is so powerful. So I've read three of the six stories so far, and I'm halfway through the next one. The first story was so good. It was so good. It was like such a great way to start the collection. It's called A Brief History of the Art Form Known as Horticulture. And it's about this gardener who decides that his calling in life is to make like garden / sculpture a thing. Like, like horticulture, but horticulture. Like, commits his life to it, and it's so funny. It's really, like, gritty and, like, realistic and messy, and it's it was so deeply funny. But, you know, funny in that, like, kind of black comedy way? Mm-hmm. It's sort of, like, dark comedy.
I love that.
Yeah, and then the second story was about this girl who goes to college, and she's noticed that everywhere she goes, people are laughing at her, and she doesn't understand what's going on, and she kind of tries to ignore it. She's like, it must be in my head, but at a certain point, someone calls her Sweet Amanda, and she's like, what the hell does that, what? And so she looks it up online, and there is a really famous porn star that looks exactly like her. And so all of these men are like being really rude to her all of the time. And it's such a, again, it was so good. The third story I didn't connect with. I didn't enjoy it that much, but it wasn't like bad. It just wasn't, you know, it's an anthology. You're never gonna like them all. But the first two stories I've really been like, wow, I was so excited.
You know what I find really cool about the way you've described those is it just sounds like a regular short story collection. And like, because I find that short stories often have kind of weird, surreal, really specific like plot lines.
Yes, they do.
And I feel like that's exactly what that is.
Yes, really. You're right. Really specific premises.
Yeah.
That are really, like you said, quirky and weird.
But often like take a stab at like, you know, something real also. Like,
yes,
I feel like most short stories are very, you know, they usually have a really strong message, and they get them across really in a short span of time. And I feel like that's exactly what those ones sound like. So that's really cool.
You're totally right. And I'm just loving it. So I'm really excited to finish it.
Wow.
And then the other book that I'm reading, and I really am reading it, I'm on page 41 now of it. I don't know. I was in the mood for a graphic novel today. what can I say?
Yeah.
is The Dreamers by Karen Thompson Walker. So as I mentioned previously, I finished Station 11, obsessed. Mm-hmm. Obsessed. And I was like, I need another pandemic book. Like, I need it, need it, need it. And so I started doing, as Raylene knows, all of this research into pandemic books. And I, yeah, I found out about this one called The Dreamers, which is pretty new, actually. It came out in 2019.
Oh, it did? I didn't realize it was that new.
Yeah, January 2019, so as far back as 2019 can go, yeah. I guess. But still, that's only only a bit over a year old. Mm-hmm. And this is about a college town where, right at the beginning, a girl falls asleep and her roommate can't wake her up, and then, you know, calls the paramedics and campus security and people, like, take her to the hospital, and the doctors can't wake her up, and she's asleep for 60 hours, and then she dies. And it kind of, like, obviously really spooks the whole campus, especially her friends who lived in her dorm building. And then another girl falls asleep and can't wake up. And basically it's this disease that's, like, spreading. And I'm only on page 40, so I don't know what else is going to happen. But that's kind of what's happened so far. And there's this really scary, like, new character that's been introduced. He's not scary, but, like, his situation. He's the janitor who was hired to clean the room. Ooh. But he wasn't told why they were, like, being asked to clean this room specifically. Mm-hmm. And he found out later, so he, like, goes home and he's, like, washing himself outside on the lawn with a hose and, like, throwing all his clothing away. He's like, they should have told me that. I was like, imagine if you're, like, told to clean a room that had coronavirus but you hadn't been told.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, he's so frustrated, as he should be. And so, like, that's where I am right now, and I'm just like, oh, spooky. But Raylene, I don't know if you recall, I was gonna do a little book haul.
Oh yes, I was gonna ask you to do your book haul.
And so, I was going to say, do you think that now would be a good time? Because I just mentioned
Go
The Dreamers.
Go for it.
Okay.
Keep on
so
going.
So The Dreamers is the first one I got. And then the other one that I got, I picked these both up curbside pickup from my local bookshop. Ooh. Is Parable of the Sower by Octavia E. Butler. So this one, I don't think is a pandemic book. It's more of an apocalyptic book. Mm-hmm. I also thought that this was, like, a really old classic, but it's from the 90s. So it's not, like, ancient old, like, from the 20s or something.
Just the right amount of old.
Yeah. And what's really cool is the reason that I picked this up is I'd heard so much from John Green about it, and especially recently, I think, like, I heard a couple, like, some quotes or something from John Green, and then I bought this edition online and picked it up at my shop, and then I saw the top quote is from John Green on the cover. It says, brilliant, endlessly rich, pairs well with 1984 or The Handmaid's Tale. So, from John Green. So I was like, wow, that's so cool. I don't know why I didn't imagine seeing John Green on here.
It seems, like, really out of place for some reason.
Yeah, it does. I don't know why it feels out of place, but
so
it really
he can
does.
Only blurb teen books. That's the
I
only
think
way.
That's what it is in my head, but yeah. He's an adult, so
he's a grown ass man. He can blurb whatever he wants.
But the so those are the first two books. If everyone will recall, I ordered 7 books.
Is there more?
I have an
illness.
More than just those
two?
I got these two, but then I also just got these two in the mail today.
Oh my god,
and
yes.
So I don't know what they are, so I thought it would be fun to open them live on camera. Do these have the pull ties? I remember these used to have pull... Back in the old days, these had pull ties. Oh god, okay, I'm gonna struggle here for a second, ladies and gentlemen, but I think I see them. Oh god.
Yeah, really? Those ones, I usually just rip them apart.
This is not user-friendly. Okay, am I strong enough? Oh my god. Okay, a real struggle. I feel like this is very relatable content to my book lovers out there, getting book packages and just trying to rip them open. In my mind, this was going to be like ASMR. Instead, it's just a struggle. All right, I got it. Okay, what
oh
is
god,
this first book?
I'm so
book?
Excited.
Oh man.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you got this.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have Severance by Ling Ma. You see the theme now of my book haul. Yes. Mm-hmm. You see my quarantine pandemic book haul. So this is I bought this because Raylene liked it.
It's good. And I think it's an Ariel book, honestly. I think you'll
really
like it.
Yeah, the way that you pitched it really made me think that I would like it. On the back it says, is it the end of the world or just another day at the office? And I'm like, it's perfect. Also very floppy. I do love me that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the other book, oh god, I'm gonna just have to struggle again. Oh my goodness.
Goodness. I wish I could help you.
I really wish you could too.
All I can do is encourage you from the other side of this phone call.
Wow. Oh my god, yay! This one said it was going to take ages to get here, but it's already here. It's Year of Wonders by Geraldine Brooks. Oh, it's thinner than I thought. Gosh, isn't this just an exciting time?
And it's really floppy, isn't it? It looks really floppy.
So floppy. It is like genuinely one of the floppiest books I've ever owned. It's way nicer than I thought. Oh, I love it. Okay, sorry guys, I got really excited. It's the first time seeing it, you know, I'm having my bonding moment with it.
Yep.
I'm gonna flip to see how many pages long it is, because it's shorter than I thought. It's 18 pages long. No, that's not true. That is the first chapter of another book at the back. It is, oh my god, the epilogue doesn't have page numbers. This is a real cliffhanger for everyone. It's around 295 pages. So
okay,
cool.
That was my guess. I was like, it looks like it's around the 300 page mark.
Yeah, so this is a book about a plague that happens back in 1666. So, yeah, plagues, pandemics. This is about a woman that's, I think she's not like high in society, you know what I mean? Like she's just like
a woman,
a peasant. You know, a peasant.
I call a peasant.
So I'm really hoping that I can start working through all of these.
I wonder when you'll stop wanting to read pandemic books.
I know, probably after I finish The Dreamers, and then I'll have all these other ones I won't want to read.
But it's okay, it's fine.
Oh, it's fine with me, man, it is fine with me. Yeah, so that's a live book haul and a live struggle, just for everyone.
That was quite a lot.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that, Raelian.
Well, I'm glad that you had so much fun there, because my currently reading is very boring again this week, because as you probably all predicted, I'm still reading The Priory of the Orange Tree by Samantha Shannon. However, I have passed the halfway point.
Exciting.
I'm now on page 421, except I read a few pages on my e-reader earlier today, so I'm actually a little farther than that. Who knows? I just can't carry this around with me.
Are you liking it?
Oh my god, I'm loving it. I am loving it. That's awesome. Is so good. It's like, I honestly don't care that it's taking me so long to read it, because every time I pick it up, I'm just like, yes.
I love that.
There have already been like so many plot twists, and you know, I thought it was going one way, and then suddenly it's like, nope, we're going in a totally different direction, and like there's chaos everywhere, and it's just like, it's so much fun to read. I really feel like this is a great fantasy book for people who maybe don't read fantasy a lot, because I think even though it is very long and it is like a completely other world type of fantasy, it's easy to understand. Like once you get past the first 50 or 60 pages and you kind of know who everybody is, you understand the different religions, the different places that people come from, then it's like, okay, I've got it, moving forward. And then it's just a great story with great characters after that. So I highly recommend it. Also, there's dragons, like tons of dragons and magic and assassins and stuff. So it's just very cool. So
that's awesome.
I highly recommend. I think it's going to become one of my new favorite fantasy books for sure. And
that makes me so happy.
I'm kind of sad that it's not going to be a series, but at the same time, I think that it's good that it's going to be just one self-contained volume. But I think it'll be one that I'll probably revisit a lot throughout my life, just because it is just the one book that I get to read from that story.
I think I don't know. I think it's a really bold move, because I feel like fantasy is usually a series. But I...
Almost every time,
But I really respect it, just because one of the things that keeps me from reading fantasy is that I don't want to read a series every time, because I'm not good at series. So I like the idea that you can just have this one epic saga and that's it.
Totally. I kind of want... I think maybe one of my next reverse recommendations, I'll be asking for maybe standalone fantasy, because I agree. I've had lots of great recommendations that are fantasy series, but I also just want a standalone fantasy, similarly to how I want just a standalone manga sometimes, you know? It's like, I just want it to be one thing and then be over.
Totally. I feel that with manga, actually. I think I would read a lot more manga if it was easier to find, one-offs, more graphic novel style, I guess.
So am I guessing that that is that you haven't finished a book this week then?
Oh no, I have finished a whole book. I started and finished a book. I actually kind of forgot. I have my stack of books next to me and I forgot to grab the one that I finished because I just like put it away and was like, I didn't finish a book.
Oh man, what did you read?
Well, last week I mentioned that I wanted to listen to an audiobook and you suggested that I listen to a nonfiction audiobook and I was like, what should I look at? So I looked through my Scribd nonfiction list that I've made for myself and I decided to go with a book that I've had on my TBR for a while instead of just picking a random one, which I usually do with nonfiction. Mm-hmm. And that book was All Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara.
Right. So I just remembered that I saw this on your Goodreads.
I see.
So I know the cover. It's like black.
Yes. It has been one of the best-selling true crime books since it came out.
Okay.
Because this one was all about the Golden State Killer. And Michelle McNamara, basically she's a true crime writer, or she was. She passed away a few years ago, unfortunately, before she was able to finish the book, which is so terrible. And the guy has been caught, but he was caught, I think, in 2018, and she passed away in 2016. So she didn't get to see him caught, which makes me so sad. But in the book, she does talk about how like, at this point, like, he hasn't been caught yet, and I don't really care if I'm the one who does it. I just hope that he gets caught, basically. Like, she's put in so much time and effort, but she's like, I don't care if it has nothing to do with me. I just want him to be caught. So that's, like, a couple of the kind of interesting things about the book, but... So it was a really, really good book, but it is kind of disjointed because there are so many parts that were pieced together after her death and just using her notes. And so the parts that were written by her were like so fully immersive because they're written in first person a lot of the times. Like she's like, so here's me doing this. This is what I'm doing. I spoke to this person, blah, blah, blah. And so those sections were amazing. And obviously the other people who put the book together did the best that they could with what they had, but it felt a little all over the place because of that, but overall really, really good book, really interesting book. And I listened to the audiobook, obviously, like I said, because I'm too scared to read true crime books because I find when I like if I'm sitting down to read them, I can only read like two pages and then I'm this is too dark, I don't want to read anymore. But somehow listening to the audiobook makes it feel like a podcast, and so it's like someone just telling me about the evil people that are out there, and it feels a little easier like that somehow. So I definitely want to read more true crime through audiobook.
Okay, so she finished writing her part and then she passed away. And then, so at the end of the book, like you said, there's stuff added on by some other writers.
It's kind of scattered throughout, actually.
Oh, it's scattered throughout. Okay, yeah. But then at the end of the book, does it say, like, she passed away, but he was caught? Or did people that buy the book not know necessarily that he was caught?
I think when the book first came out, it was before he was caught, I recall correctly. But the edition that I own, like the copy of the book I have, as well as the audiobook, does mention it at the end. Okay. Also, the introduction to the book was by Gillian Flynn. She actually like talks about her interest in true crime and her like connections to Michelle as well. So that was interesting. And then Michelle McNamara was married to Patton Oswalt. I don't know if you know that at all, but so he's like a comedian and actor for people who don't know. And so he did the afterword. So it was cool listening to the audiobook too, because I got to hear both of their voices.
Wow.
But then they do kind of go into a little bit how he was, the fact that he was caught. So I was like, yes, because as I was listening to it, like I knew that, but I was like, hopefully they managed to squeeze it into this copy, like this edition. So and I think they're going to do an updated version once more information has come out. Like I think it's going to be the type of thing that gets updated. More than once, probably, but yeah, and apparently they're working on an HBO miniseries or documentary series for it right now.
Gosh.
So eventually we can all just watch a show, which I think will be really cool because true crime documentaries are really interesting. Yeah, scary, but interesting. They freak me out, but I love them.
I'm really not into true crime. Like, I've just never got it. I think it just scares me a little because I'm like, they're real and they're probably in my backyard.
Yeah. I know. It does kind of make you think about it more.
Yeah.
And, like, that's maybe not necessarily a good thing, but it could also be a good thing in some ways because it's like, I used to listen to the podcast My Favorite Murder, and their kind of catchphrases, stay sexy and don't get murdered. And so I feel like if you're more aware of true crime, it makes you kind of, you know, more aware of ways to protect yourself.
That's true.
Like,
that's
you know,
true.
So that's one way of thinking about it, but it's also kind of just like, hey, I don't want to know these things.
Well, good job on
finishing a whole book while reading your giant tome.
Well, I know, it's because I was just like, I want to get back into cross-stitching. I'm working on this Hogwarts cross-stitch right now, and I really want to just keep moving forward on that. So I was like, you know what? When I don't feel like reading my fantasy book, I'll just cross-stitch and listen to an audiobook. But now I'm in the same boat as I was last week. I need another audiobook. Yep. I don't know what to listen to.
Nonfiction. Keep doing it. Just knock them all out.
I don't know if I want to listen to another one yet. Maybe a romance book. Maybe that's what I'll do next.
Yeah, just got to be something really opposite of your fantasy book.
Exactly. Well, have you finished anything?
Raylene.
Ariel.
Raylene. I did not just finish one book. Just finish two books.
No.
I did not just finish three books.
What the heck?
I finished four books. And I am sorry. I don't know who I am, but I'm a hero. So I'll do it pretty quickly here because I know I went on with my book haul, but let me tell you about the four books that I read this week, and I'm really proud of myself. So the first one, everyone will be really proud of me, Weather by Jenny Offal. I did finish it. I'm really proud of myself. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was an excellent book. In the end, for me, it was, you know, like between a 4 and a 5. It's not like my new favorite all-time read, but I really, really enjoyed it. Definitely enjoyed Jenny Offal's writing style. She has such a unique writing style that really, to me, feels like nothing I've ever read before, and the sort of thing where, like, if I was given a page of hers without knowing who it was, I could figure out that it was her. Like, is very unique. Mm-hmm. But the main thing about this book is that I think I mentioned this in the last episode, but I really had to read it quickly. I had to read it in, like, 2 or 3 days. I forget how long it took me. It was either, like, 2 or 3 days, but because the writing style and the atmosphere is so specific, but the book is also so short. Like, I'm trying to find, it's 201 pages. So it's so short. It has huge margins because of the writing style that's very, like, vignette-y and everything. It's sort of, like, very quick flickers of a story. So it goes along so quickly that if you put it down and wait too long between reading it, you kind of get out of the world. And I saw a review on Goodreads that kind of described it as hypnotizing. And I really agree with that. You have to get hypnotized into the world. And I was trying to explain this to my patrons, and I was like, I kind of think of it like a telescope. Hear me out. In that, like, her writing style reminded me of telescope, in that, like, if you wanted to see a bird or something through a telescope, you have to, like, set up the telescope, then look for the bird, and then finally you're on it, and then you're kind of reading it from a distance, but you can see it, like, you're enjoying it from a distance. Then if you put it down again, it's sort of, like, going to be a big hassle to kind of get into that world and enjoy something from that distance again. It's very, I don't know a better way to explain it. Like, it just, the characters in the whole world seem very far away, and you have to be in a specific mindset to get there. But it's really a really cool, worthwhile thing to do, because I found it to be such a unique character. But the main thing was so many good lines, like endless amount of good lines. I just couldn't stop. I also, it was really good, representation, I guess, of a brother and a sister. Like, I don't read that enough, and I'm really close with my brother, and so I really appreciate reading about brothers and sisters.
Yeah, me
too. It was really cool. So then the next book I finished was iGen. I was listening to this as an audiobook, and it was one of the books that I was doing for that, or I am doing for that video, reading the books that my friends recommend me, or actually reading them. And this was, it was really interesting. I think I give it, like, you know, around a 3 out of 5. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's really hard to rank psych pop, because, do you know what I mean? Like, or popular psychology, pop psych, because it's sort of, it's a little sensationalized and generalized, in that, like, you know, I think that the way that the data was shared made a lot of sense. I thought that the author did a really good job of
often hedging what she was saying. So she's like, this stat kind of leads us to believe this, but it could mean this, and we don't have enough studies about this yet, but we can kind of argue this. But sometimes, you know, she'd be like, this, like, she was, my boyfriend listened to the audiobook with me, and he was like, for example, when she said, we're raising a generation of people who know the perfect emoji to use, but might not be able to read a facial gesture. And we're like, you can't just say that. Like, you don't know if that's true. That's just like a thing to say that sounds very dramatic. And it's like, you know what I mean? So, but I feel like, I feel that with all pop psych that I read. And I, like, most of the time I'm just sort of like, yeah, but you just went into this with a strong opinion. And you're probably just...
It seems like, yeah, they obviously have their opinion. And they're like, yeah, so, I mean, I'll kind of share both sides of it, but I'm going to tell you what my real opinion is at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. So you always got to take these things with a grain of salt. I do feel like I learned a lot from it. And I do feel like it changed my perspective of... Mainly, like, I think the thing that I learned the most was how... different it is to have grown up always having a smartphone slash always having high-speed internet, and how different that would be for this current generation. And a lot of the stuff that, like, there was lots of chapters on mental health and the effects of depression and stuff like that, like, that's all stuff I've heard other places too, and so I very much feel like it was well hedged, and I could really understand what she was saying. Stuff like that really hit it home. And, like, I was trying to explain this to people, it's like the nonfiction version of the movie Eighth Grade. Have you seen Eighth Grade?
Yes. Oh my god.
Okay.
So uncomfortable.
Oh my god, yes, it is. It's so uncomfortable. It's so awkward. It's so stressful and cringy. But if you read this book, you can see why. Yeah. Why this generation of preteens and teens is kind of, like, has a lot of difficulties communicating because they do so much of it online. Mm-hmm. So it was just, it was very interesting, and I did enjoy it. But I also am very aware that kind of, like, you know,
yeah,
take it with a grain of salt. Okay, the other two things that I read were both graphic novels. So I read Dodo by Philippe Nunes. I don't know if you remember, I bought this a few weeks or months ago now. I think I actually bought this at the same time that I bought Girl Town. So really checking off that book haul. I liked this one, but I didn't love it. I felt very firmly that the third act was missing. It was like you have this setup of this little girl, and you understand, I guess, that her parents are going through a divorce or something, and she's kind of, like, confused about it. And then, so that's kind of the first section. And the second section is she meets this dodo bird, and it starts to destroy her house, and is kind of like a symbol metaphor for how her emotions are kind of destructive, and she's confused and stressed and lonely. But then that's kind of where it ended, and I really had, like, it kind of got summarized in two pages, and I was like, oh, I really needed that third act. So I did enjoy it, and I would definitely, like, look out for more stuff by this artist, but it just didn't, like, bring it home for me.
Yeah.
But then I read, oh my god, this graphic novel, Aquacorn Cove. Have you heard of this?
No, it's so cute, though.
It is one of the best graphic novels I have read in ages.
It looks like a video game. I love it. I
was completely obsessed with it. It was so beautiful and touching. It's definitely more like middle grade YA focused. More on that side of children's middle grade. But it was so beautiful. Like, the story was beautiful. The drawings were beautiful. The characters had beautiful hearts. It's about this girl whose mother has passed away, and that's kind of looming in the background. But more up front, it's about they used to live at this coastal town where her aunt and her mom had grown up as fishermen, like, in a long line of fishermen. And so that's where she grew, the little girl that's, like, the main character, grew up. But then when her mom passed away, you kind of get the feeling that her dad couldn't live in the community anymore, so moved to the city. But they come back because there was a giant storm that, like, really destroyed the house where their aunt still lives. So they're, like, here to help rebuild that. But then she meets these aquacorns that are, like, seahorse unicorns, sort of.
So good.
In the ocean. And there's kind of mermaids in the book, and it's not weird. It's, like, kind of just accepted. Like, the aquacorn shows up, and she's like, hello, how are you? And it just, hello. It was so sweet and touching and beautiful, and it kind of turned out to be about the climate a little bit. It was sort of like, it was these mermaids live in a coral reef and the town needs to help the coral reef by not overfishing and stuff. It was so beautiful. Oh my God, I loved it. And I actually have a, this is an ARC copy and I want the finished version because it was so good. It was so, good. I also kind of just want to like, if don't tell anyone, but if I get like the actual version, I would totally cut out a page or two out of this version and hang them up because it, the drawings were beautiful. So those were all the things I read this week.
Wow.
I feel
you're
very,
a hero.
Thanks, Raylene. I really feel like a hero.
Well, I think it's about time we dove into our book news. Okay, so how about you go first?
Well, alrighty then. My book news is pretty straightforward this week, but I think it's exciting. It is that we have a new book announced by Stephanie Perkins.
I thought you were trying to mislead me and say Stephanie Meyer again. I'm like, why are you telling me this? I already know. Okay, do go on.
Yeah, so I saw this on Instagram because I follow Dutton Books, I think it was, and they posted like the cover for it. And it is a companion, which is funny because she does all these companion books, I guess, to her first horror novel, There's Someone Inside Your House. So this book is called The Woods Are Always Watching. It actually sounds kind of cool. It says two girls go backpacking in the woods, things go very wrong, and then their paths collide with a serial killer. So I like the idea of a story set in the woods. Like, that seems like fun.
Me too. That's a good one.
Unfortunately, I was not a big fan of the first one. I actually didn't. It was a DNF for me. I tried reading it and I just couldn't get into it. So I ended up just putting it down and never picking it back up. So I really wish that this news was that she had a new contemporary YA book coming out. But you know what? Authors should have the freedom to do whatever they want.
It's true. She might have another contemporary one day.
One day, yeah. So, but there's kind of like an extra kind of tidbit here in that There's Someone Inside Your House is being turned into a Netflix movie.
Of course it is.
So I thought that was kind of exciting. Again, really wish that was Anna and the French Kiss that was being turned into a movie.
Right? There's so many sad things. It's like, come on, that book is better than whatever these people are doing now. Like, there's a lot of first works that I feel like should have become movies before the newer works. But that's just not the way that the world works.
Yeah, the reason that I found this out again was like, I saw this post on Instagram and I went to Goodreads to look the book up. And then at the top of here, it says, Stephanie Perkins returns with another blood-chilling contemporary horror novel, the perfect companion to her New York Times bestseller, There's Someone Inside Your House, soon to be a Netflix feature. That's all I'd heard of it, though.
Casual mention.
Yeah, it was such a casual. I was like, isn't this news, though? Like, I hadn't heard anything about that. So the way that it's worded, the perfect companion, I don't know if they're set in the same world or if it's just like they're both scary but not related at all. Yeah. I'm not sure, but fun.
Yeah, that's fun news either way.
What's your news?
Okay, my news is kind of like not news in that it was like this was announced many months ago, but we haven't talked about it. So I thought I would bring it up. And that is that Station 11 is being adapted into a miniseries.
Yeah, you know
I don't know how we haven't talked about that at all.
We really need to touch on that. Please go on.
That's what I thought. It's really important. Although this like started back in October is when they started casting people. So like it's really not new news. But I didn't realize that Mackenzie Davis is in this and I freaking love her.
Wait a minute. We have a cast?
There's a bit of a cast,
Oh my God. Okay, I'm going to IMDb.com.
You gotta go to IMDb. This is very important.
Typing in. I don't know how, you're right. How have we not talked about this?
How have we not talked about this? It's going to be 10 episodes. I believe HBO.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's HBO, which to me is so exciting because obviously they have made.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff coming out on HBO lately. I'm like, I think I need to sign up for that. Like, there's enough things coming out on HBO that I'm like, I would be willing to pay for this.
This is, I didn't know who Mackenzie Davis was when you said it, but now looking at her, I totally know who she is.
Yeah, for those who don't know, she was in the episode of Black Mirror, San Junipero. That's what she's most well known for. She was also in The Martian.
Yeah.
She was also, she was in a Terminator movie or something. I'm not really sure.
I think I know her most from The Martian, but she is perfect.
She's the coolest. Yeah, looking at this cast, like, doesn't mean anything to me. Yeah, because I don't know who, I don't remember who any of these characters are.
Oh, right. Yeah, but, like, Kirsten is, like, the main character who's, like, got two knife tattoos on her wrist.
Oh,
and she is now, like, I think she's,
I
like, 27-ish, something like that. No,
then Mackenzie's
28.
Perfect.
Yeah, 20. I think she's 28.
And also, she can be a badass, so.
Oh, this is really exciting. Okay, now I've got
Yeah, so that's exciting. I also was looking into the director and writer of this, because
I was like,
I wonder what else these guys have done. So it's being written by Patrick Somerville, and he's written a few random things, one of them being the Netflix series Maniac, which I haven't seen. That's the one with Emma Stone and Jonah Hill.
Yeah, that's very critically acclaimed.
That's cool. So, like, that's kind of interesting. He was also a writer on the HBO series The Leftovers, which I also don't really know anything about. So his writing career has been sort of, like, smallish. So I'm like, I think it's cool that he gets to be on such a big project as Station 11.
Yeah.
The director is so random for this, but I love it. He is a Japanese-born American filmmaker named Hiro Murai.
Okay.
And he mostly does music videos. Like, he has directed, but he directs really cool music videos.
Okay.
Like, he directed the Childish Gambino's This Is America video. He
has directed
like, episodes of Atlanta, which Donald Glover is also in. And if you look at, like, what he's done on Wikipedia, he's directed so many random cool videos.
Wow.
Like, he directed the video for Gold by Chet Faker, which is a really cool music video, and just, like, a bunch of other ones. So he's mostly done music videos, but so I think it's really cool that he's making the jump to something like this. Like, but they're all very, like, cinematic music videos, so I am, like, fully on board. I think that he's a really good choice for it, even though I don't, like, I haven't seen tons of his stuff, but.
This is really exciting.
Isn't that cool? I feel like it's going to be a really cool show.
Oh, man. I'm hyped. Yeah. Do we know when it's coming out?
I don't know, but it just started filming in January, I think.
Oh,
so
I hope they finished filming.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's like, who knows where it's at right now?
Oh, no.
I haven't seen any updates, but they started in January. It's possible they finished, but I haven't seen any other updates, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Because can you imagine if Station 11 came out during the pandemic?
No, can you imagine, like, if it had to stop filming because of a pandemic?
Oh, I know, it's crazy. But on IMDb, the date for the miniseries, it says 2022 blank, so hopefully it will actually come out this year, like, but who knows how accurate that is.
Yeah. Oh,
but yeah,
I'm so
I want
excited.
That. I want that real bad.
I'm really excited. Like, I think you texted it to me that this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? And I was so excited and I told everyone in my family. But I thought it was, like, it had just been announced. So I didn't know
it's old news, man.
I didn't. It's so funny.
Isn't that
cool? I bet you people were freaking out about it because I hadn't read it. I just didn't notice. And I was just sort of like, whatever. But now I'm like, fangirl will be there. This is super exciting because we were talking about Raylene, how, like, a lot of the stuff you read keeps getting adapted, but I haven't had something in a while.
That's
now
true.
I finally am in a train.
Except it might never come out.
Except that my train might never leave the station.
Because it's all, everybody's trapped. Your train is trapped. Well, that ended up being a slightly more fun book news, I guess.
Yeah.
We thought it was going to be bad, but I think it's cool. I think it's interesting.
No, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So let's just jump into our recommendations. I will read mine first.
Go
because
for it.
It's my turn to have the floor. This one, this one comes from Selena, and she says, I am looking for a book that was popular on BookTube pre-2016. I discovered BookTube in 2016 and, as most probably were, was overwhelmed by the amount of books recommended. I want to know which one you think is still worth the read in 2020.
Cool.
So that's super interesting.
I like this one a lot.
What did you pick for this one? I'm really curious to hear what you picked.
Well, at first I was like, I'm going to name 19.
Yeah, that was my problem too.
And then I was like, okay, I'll pick one, but I'm going to do some honorable
mentions.
Yeah,
So the main one that I decided to go with, it was hard. I also thought a lot about Anne and the French Kiss. And so I
had a feeling you were going to recommend that one.
I really was feeling that one, but I was like, one that I just really wish more people would read. And also, I haven't reread Anna in a long time, so I don't know how much it holds up in
that was 20s. My problem, too.
Yeah, so I decided to go with Uglies by Scott Westerfeld. This book and this series is phenomenal. It's a trilogy with a companion novel. So there is a fourth novel, but it's not like a part of the main arc, if you know what mm-hmm. I mean. The trilogy is incredible. None of the books let me down, which is really nice to know. Like, if you're going to go into mm-hmm. a first book, that it's not going to, like, deteriorate as it goes. Totally. But if you haven't heard of it, because I feel like I don't hear people talking about it anymore.
Well, not because it was popular in 2010.
Well, and I mean, exactly. And I guess that's why we're doing this, right?
But, exactly. It's a great throwback.
This is about a world where when you turn 16, you have to undergo mandatory plastic surgery to make you beautiful. That plastic surgery is partly, like I mentioned, like cosmetic, but it's also partly like structural. They like replace your teeth with ceramic teeth and replace mm-hmm. your bones with like metal bones or titanium or something. I don't remember. Yeah. And so you become like basically like quote unquote perfect, a perfect version of yourself. And mm-hmm. so everyone who's still an ugly, which is what they're called in the book, yeah. lives in a different place than the main city where the pretties live. Mm-hmm. And when you turn 16 and you become pretty, you get to move to the city. And so the main character, Tally, is so excited to turn pretty. She just can't wait. She's like so excited. And then obviously, because it is a YA dystopian novel, mm-hmm. she realizes that the government is corrupt, that things are not as they seem, that playing along with the government isn't the right move, and that maybe there's something more important than your vanity worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. It is so exciting. It's really interesting. It's super fun. I just remember having such a great time reading this book, and I think I reread it like pretty soon after I first read it because I was just like, this is such a good book. Like, it's just so much fun. But yeah, it's, you know what also is cool about this book? The fact that the main character at the beginning of the book is like super on board with the government. Like, usually totally. Like characters like, you know, like Katniss or Winston Smith that are in dystopians, usually they're the characters who want to dissent right away, mm-hmm. Are doing something rebellious, but yeah. she's like, woohoo, can't wait to be a pretty. Yay, I love it. And even for like a lot of the beginning, she's like, what are you guys talking about? Like, this is gonna be so cool. And everyone's like,
yeah, like she has to be convinced. Yeah. Yeah, like, exactly. That this is not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. I agree. I love those books. And I feel like they were like dystopians before dystopians really took off.
I agree.
So it was kind of like one of the first in the genre for YA anyway. So I feel like it's really worth like going back and seeing kind of pre-popular dystopian.
I'm pretty sure I picked it up because of you. I remember you talking about it a lot on your channel.
I loved it. It was one of the series that I was very into as like a young teen.
Yeah.
When they first were coming out, I would just was so, so into them. Like, they were some of the first books that I read just like nonstop and would stay up late reading them because they were so exciting. And like the futuristic technology just like really was so cool to me. Yes. Like, they have hoverboards and stuff that they fly around on.
Yes.
And it was like, oh my god, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And like, they have the ability to just like, they have like things in their heads or something where they can like communicate with each other through their minds.
I forget, but I know
stuff.
What you're talking about.
Yeah, like they could like take pictures with their brains or something. Like, yeah. there was like a thing that was sort of like a dashboard, like a cell phone, but like in their head.
Yeah, we need
so
to reread
it.
It
was really cool. 100%. I think that these are really worth the reread.
Yeah.
I haven't read them since I was a teenager, but I believe that they would still hold up in 2020. I 100% believe that.
So wow. Before I go into all of my honorable mentions, I was just going to shoot out a couple extra names. What did you pick?
Okay. I kind of picked two, but I'll give you my main one first.
Yeah.
So this is a book that was, I don't know if it's not necessarily as popular on BookTube as Uglies may have been. I feel like I may have started a wave of people reading this book, though. So I think you know which one I'm talking about. And that is Me and Earl and the Dying Girl by Jesse Andrews.
Hell yeah. You were such a champion of that book.
I was a champion of this book. This came out, I think, in 2012. It came out in 2012. And I don't remember how I heard about it, but I was just, like, so dang excited about this book. I remember I got it from the library, and then I fell in love with it. I read it in one day and was like, I need to own this book. And so I ordered it, and when I showed up, it was, like, the best day of my entire life. So this book is fantastic.
It has such a beautiful cover, let me just say.
I know. It's such an iconic cover.
It is iconic.
The hardcover. You gotta look for the iconic hardcover cover, because the newer ones are way less good. Oh. But this is a contemporary story about this guy named Greg, and he is kind of a bad person, which is something that I really like about this book, is that he's a realistic main character. He basically, him and his friend Earl are just like regular teenage guys, and they're kind of weird loners, and they just like to make movies together. And so that's what they do. They just hang out and make movies. And then there's this other girl, or there's this girl named Rachel, who I can't remember exactly how they're connected to this family, but like their moms know each other or something. And so Greg's mom is like, I just found out from Rachel's mom that she has cancer and she's gonna die, and I really think that you should make an effort to be friends with her. And so the whole book is kind of about him kind of being forced almost to hang out with her, and he like feels kind of bitter about it, because he's like, why do I have to do this? Like, I don't really want to hang out with her. And, you know, so he's kind of an asshole, which I can see why people wouldn't like that. But I think it, you know, it's realistic of a teenager. When people are told to do something they don't want to do,
yeah,
it's usually
totally.
Ugh, I don't want to do this. Like, this is such a waste of my time. I just want to be making movies, doing whatever I find fun. But then obviously, as the book goes on, he actually becomes friends with her. And so it is a great story, and it's so, so hilarious. Parts of the book are told in like a script format, and just the way that they're written are so funny. Like, sometimes Greg's mom will just like come into his room and he'll just like kind of write their interaction, and it just like cracks me up so much every time. So I really think that this one is worth a revisit for me, and also just for anyone who hasn't read it. I think if you like John Green books, you'll probably like this. So yeah, that's my main recommendation. My secondary one, which is kind of more of an honorable mention, is The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Ooh,
I think you can agree.
Yeah.
This is one that a lot of people have, I mean, obviously people have never really stopped reading it, but I remember when I first read it, it was maybe 2011, and I read it like twice in one day, because I just couldn't, like, it was so good. I was like, this is a great book.
Yeah.
So that's one that I think is like a modern classic already at this point, and
sure,
I feel like it'll stick around forever, and I think anyone who hasn't read it should read it.
I think that one got a really big boost while we were like early BookTube days, because the movie came out.
Yes,
so
totally.
we were there when the book got like a second wave.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, some of my honorable mentions were just gonna be like, you know, Looking for Alaska, The Fault in Our Stars, and In the French Kiss, for sure, needed to shout that out. Divergent was actually
that one
really
was huge.
Fun. Yeah,
I love Divergent, honestly.
Yeah. Delirium, I actually found to be a really fun book. I never read the sequels, though. So
I didn't like the sequels.
I heard bad things about them.
But the first one is really good.
Yeah, I heard bad things about the sequels, so I never actually ended up reading them. But I really enjoyed Delirium. I thought that one was really fun. The Night Circus was really big on BookTube for a long time, and like, it's a great book. You liked it, right?
I loved
it.
Yeah,
okay.
Although
that's what
I haven't read it since 2012 or whatever, when I first read it. I read it with an online book club. It was the only book my book club ever read. It was me and four people on Goodreads who didn't know each other. We just all decided to read The Night Circus together, and it
was
incredible.
So fun. That's incredible. Yeah.
That's one of my weird fun
Amy
stories.
And Roger's epic detour was huge, and it was kind of like a big moment for YA contemporary community, where we were like, what is this amazing book?
Yeah.
Miseducation of Cameron Post.
I was gonna mention that one too.
Was and is so good. I think that kind of, those were all like 2012-ish reads.
That was a big year for cool books.
Yeah, it really was. Miseducation is really good. I still stand by my thought that it needed to be like 100 pages shorter, and then it would have been like one of my favorite books, but it was a really good book.
I agree.
Yeah. Gosh. Just, I had a lot of fun scrolling through my old Goodreads catalog.
Oh, me too. I found so many things. I was like, whoa, I read like Beautiful Creatures and Legend, like all of these random old books that were so cool back then that now I don't think about ever at all.
Yeah, totally. Well, my recommendation comes from Georgia. Georgia says, as you'd be fully aware of, Stephanie Meyer is releasing Midnight Sun in August. Woohoo!
Yes.
It's described as the story of Twilight from Edward's perspective. I'm really interested to know your thoughts on authors publishing the same story from another character's perspective, and which book we would want to read from another perspective. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your hard work. I didn't mean to read that, but that's really nice. Thank you, Jordan.
Sometimes you just gotta squeeze those in there.
So yeah, you go first, Raylene. Which one did you pick as your different perspective? And how do you feel about the whole thing?
Okay, well, my general thoughts on the whole thing kind of ties into my pick for this. And that is that I think telling the story from a different perspective is very cool on one condition.
Oh.
If it is a character that doesn't spend a lot of time with the character who we got their perspective of. Because
really
then the story is actually different, you know? Whereas with Edward and Bella, like, yes, they spend some time apart, but most of the story is about them being together. Like, that's
literally
the whole idea of Twilight,
literally,
is, like, their romance.
Yeah.
So it got me thinking, I'm like, which book, you know, do I not get to see that character? And so I started trying to think of obscure things, and it all came down to something very, very not obscure that I just really want to be a thing. And honestly, we don't talk about Harry Potter enough,
You know we don't. I agree with that.
And I think that's criminal. I try and avoid it because
it's
I don't
so over-talked about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want to oversaturate the podcast with my obsession for Harry Potter, but what people might not know is I am obsessed with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's my favorite series. It's the series I've read the most times. I have Harry Potter tattoos. Like, I freaking love Harry Potter so much. And so at first I was like, I would love to read a book from Neville's perspective, but that's not really what I want. That's not really what I want. I was just like, who do we not
I
get to
feel
see
like
enough
one
of?
Chapter would be more than enough.
Yes, totally. So then I started thinking about it more, and my main answer for this is I would love to see Harry Potter from Draco's perspective.
Oh, I totally agree.
Because
totally
you
agree.
Never, ever get to see things from the Slytherin perspective. You never get to see what they're up to.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I feel like most of the time they're just like playing pranks. Like, they're not as evil and scary as they seem to be from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I also would love to get into Draco's head a little bit more, because I feel like you would get to understand why he's such a bad guy, because he's so insecure and he has like so many problems with like his family and stuff, and just like the pressure that's put on him later in his life to, you know, be a bad guy.
Mm-hmm,
and it would just be so interesting to see the way like he processes things. So that was my main thing. I also would love to see a book from Hermione's perspective, because she also spends a lot of time on her own.
Yeah, she does.
Doing
right.
Hermione
I
things.
Think I think that that would be really cool. I think that your Draco one though, I completely
cool,
agree.
Right,
with. I completely agree. Like you mentioned, we have, because obviously Gryffindor is friendly with Ravenclaw, like Luna, and in the books, not in the movies, but in the books, there's some Hufflepuff action with Justin,
Ernie McMillan,
and Ernie McMillan. Yeah, with those characters, we learn a bit about Hufflepuff and we learn a lot about Ravenclaw because of Luna and stuff, but we really don't get that much Slytherin stuff. I guess obviously in the second one, Polyjuice Potion, they go into the
but that's it
common room, but like that is basically it, and it's, you know, the second book. So like it from like an adult Draco, first of all, not adult, but like 17 or 16 year old Draco, like what's going on in the common room? Also, like obviously Draco is kind of Harry's mirror person, right?
Yes,
and
totally.
So to see like how being the dark chosen one affects his life, what does he do on his downtime, like what's stuff like at Malfoy Manor? We do get some Malfoy Manor stuff obviously, but like only in the last book. Like, what was his growing up like?
Exactly.
Also, we would get to see, like, Dobby before he's free.
Oh my god, so true. There's so many reasons I want to get into the Malfoy Manor.
Yeah, I think that's such a good pick. I actually struggled a little bit with this question, and I have two answers that are not as good as your one.
I see, I just went for, like, what I think was the best one, even though it's, like, not a creative answer at all.
But I want that. I actually want that. So, my first answer is, hear me out. It's Animal Farm from another farm's perspective.
I love that answer.
Okay, so
hear me out, guys. I, whenever I read a dystopian or, you know, like, I guess Animal Farm does fall kind of into that category of mm-hmm. dystopian, but it isn't a dystopian. Like, it sort of is, whatever, it doesn't matter. Whenever I read, like, a story like Animal Farm or 1984 or Hunger Games, I'm always wondering what's happening in the other countries.
Totally.
Like, are they like this? Are they the only one? Are, like, are we the only humans left? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm always totally. Wondering, like, what's going on elsewhere? And Animal Farm is a novella. It's very short, and almost all of the information we have about it is from the perspective of the animals on our farm.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be so interesting to, like, see what animals on different farms are thinking. Like, did this start any other revolutions? Were there other farms right. that became free?
There's gotta be.
Like, I just think that would be really interesting. I don't think it would work as a whole book, but I think it would work as, like, additional chapters in Animal Farm. You know what I mean? Like, to
yeah,
see
totally.
Those other perspectives. The kind of reason that I thought about this was because when I read the Animal Farm graphic novel earlier this year,
mm.
there was a sketch of Mr. Jones, who owns the farm before he's kicked out, sitting in the bar, just kind of, like, complaining to everyone about how unfair his life is. And I yeah. was like, whoa, this is really cool. Like, we're getting... I never thought about where Mr. Jones is during the whole time. Like, he's just, mm-hmm. like, been kicked out of his house. And his farm, like, what's he doing? So I just think that would be really interesting. Also, I think I just, because it's my favorite book, I would just love to get more world building and more
totally.
perspectives, and just get to learn about it more. The other one that I picked is only slightly shady.
Okay.
And it is The Memory Police.
Oh, hell yeah.
By Yoko Ogawa. So if you haven't heard our book club episode, it is out now. But basically, Raylene and I read The Memory Police, and we didn't, like, hate it or anything, but we had a lot of problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the main thing that we talked about was how there really wasn't a plot. There was a real lack of action or of understanding what was going on, but the premise was so good and the world was really interesting. So mm-hmm. I kind of wish I could read The Memory Police from a perspective that had more plot and had totally. Like maybe like one of the Memory Police officers
yes.
to like
that'd be cool.
learn about what he's doing. Or what I think would be the best thing for this would be to just have, like, 8 different perspectives from
I was
8
just
really different people in that world, like, having to deal with the Memory Police and kind of seeing what it's all about. I think that would have, like, really, really enriched the book for me. But yeah, that's a little shady, because...
I agree, though. I feel like that would have just made it a more well-rounded book.
Yeah. Because
I feel like the problems we had with it were just due to how little was told and
yeah.
like how little was really happening, because it was just told from the perspective of this random lady who doesn't really know anything or tell us anything. So it would have been a lot better. I agree. Multiple perspectives, I think, would have been really good for this one.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because, like, to answer George's kind of first question, like, how do we feel about it? I really agree with what you're saying about, like, it only works if it's from a perspective we don't really see about that much, that the character doesn't interact with, because if it is, then it's just, like, a slightly different story and it's a little repetitive. But the truth is that I really dislike multiple perspectives in books. Like, it just, like, there have been a few, didn't I recently read one where I was like, actually, this really worked for me? I forget what it was. I definitely think that happened. Like, obviously there are exceptions, but for the most part, I just hate it when the perspectives change. Oh, it was Station 11. With Station 11, there's like 4 different main characters, and I actually thought it worked brilliantly. But for the most part, I'm usually just like, I like the main character. I want to stop switching.
No, I totally agree. And a book that I got thinking about this too, about perspectives. And one book that I think has really great perspectives is Golden Boy by Abigail Tartlin. Because that one, when I first started reading it, I thought it was just going to be from the perspective of the main character. But There's, I think, three or four different perspective characters, and one of them is the main character's mom. One of them is the main character's brother. So you get to see the story from all these different angles, and it just, like, enhances it.
Yeah.
Which I think is the same with Station 11, because it's, like, a lot of the characters are together, mm-hmm. right? But you kind of get to see different timelines a little bit, and, like, you get to see into their pasts and stuff a little bit, I think.
Yeah, no, that, yeah, I totally, I agree.
So it can be done well, it's just not always done well.
Yeah, a lot of the time I find it really jarring, and I feel that it happens, like, too prematurely, and it, like, it makes all of these fake cliffhangers in a book.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, 20 cliffhangers because you're just starting to get to know what's happening to, like, Brienne. And then we switch to another perspective. And now we're, like, with Jaime. And I'm like, okay. And then we're with Cersei. And I'm like, all right. And it's just, like, I'm just,
I just,
like,
want to read a continuous story about these
one
people.
Story.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that.
I said Game of Thrones, but I have not read Game of Thrones. So
I mean, that's, like, the most obvious one, because it happens in the show, too. It bounces around a lot, which works maybe better in television a little bit, but still irritating. It's like, I just want to know what's happening to this character. But speaking of Game of Thrones, the thing that can be so annoying is sometimes there's only two chapters for one character, and they're spaced out throughout the book, and it's like, I needed more than that.
Whatever that was.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't get enough, and it makes me angry.
Well, this was a long episode, Raylene.
But it was fun. I feel like we had some good discussion.
I really enjoyed this episode. It was 100% my fault because I threw a book haul in there and I read so many books. But I'm proud of myself and I am excited to tackle these babies.
Me too. I can't wait to hear how many pandemic books you managed to read. Well, thanks guys for listening. We are off to go record our bonus mini podcast, Books and Bucket, which you can listen to if you follow us on Patreon and support us on there. So check it out if you haven't already. The bonus podcast is the best part of my week, I would say. It's pretty great. Ariel asks me a bookish question and I answer it, and then we have a discussion and it's really fun. So check it out if you want. In the meantime, read some books. See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.